Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this radio program is for August 9th, 2020. And we're going to be looking at Only Human. It's the excuse we love to have for our life. Anything that tends to go wrong, as it were, we love to blame the human and just say, well, I'm only human. The human is certainly a part of our life experience here, and it is there to teach us many interesting facets of our being. The human is there in contrast to our being and is there to help us awaken to our inner being and not to be the scapegoat for so many things that we like to make it the scapegoat for. So let's take a look at what we're talking about here with the human. It is a biological instrument, something you are born into, not of. And you are born into this human carcass that has many, many genetic traits, DNA. It is preloaded with destiny and fate, and it comes to reckon with us in many, many ways as we go about our daily living. It provides for us the drama, the heartaches, the seeming wonderful times. We give it a lot of weight in our life, and in doing so, we miss what is truly going on. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I have some wonderful questions from people. No one told me where they live. This is interesting. It's like the women who write me never tell me. Like, I guess I'm going to go to their house and hunt them down and whatever. But here we go. First question comes from Anne. Like I say, do not know where she lives. Science says, according to Anne, we are only human. We are biological. Can this biology save us? Can science save us? And then she goes into the pain and suffering she's had during the virus and the epidemic. You know, science is interesting to me. I'm always fascinated with it. I like it a great deal. I enjoy whatever it is and what it's teaching us and what we're learning and how it is changing our mindset as to the way things work, why things work the way they work. So I think science is fascinating. And science at all levels is leading us further and further into the infinite. And as we go into that infinite and we start to become ever so slightly aware of the intangibles of science, we start to begin a journey, a new journey, a journey into something that is meaningful, that is provocative, that offers us intelligence. If we can open our minds and go further and further into what we know, I think that there are many, many scientists who went into their careers one way and are now experiencing their life and maybe their careers in a different way. And I really love it. I admire the brain power, the intellect that is being used correctly. In science, I have found, and that it is important never, ever to assume anything. Assumption is out the door. And when I have assumption, and when I think in assumptuous terms is when I get into trouble. So when I assume the whole idea of science is correct, that's when I get into trouble, because there are certain things that science has a hard time with, and one of them is this infinite state of our origins and what we're really all about in the bigger picture. So with that being said, I think that it goes from scientist to scientist, from person to person, to understand what is real, what is not, how we live our life, what is the science of our living, and all of that. You say science says we are only human. We are more than human, and there are many scientists who are realizing that we are more than just human. There is the science of biology, which is teaching us about the structure of intelligence and how it works and what we know about how it works. But there are, again, those things we don't know, things that our minds can't wrap their thoughts around. And so it becomes an intuitive thing with science. And I really enjoy that. I find that intuitive side and exploring the intuition of that very, very powerful. You ask, can science save us? Science is certainly going to help us. I mean, it's going to be wonderful. I really feel that way. There are some amazing things that are being explored, even in this pandemic. I don't know how old you are, Anne, but during the Mercury space program, there were a lot of people who thought that it was a big waste of time, and then the Apollo came, and eventually we obviously went to the moon, etc. We start to look at all of this, and people thought, well, why are we wasting our time and our money on all of this, you know, taxpayer-wise? Well, that's so close-minded, I can't even get into it. There are many discoveries that were made in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s through NASA, through spaceflight, through the space program. Many, many things, from our watches to our ovens to our refrigerators to microwaves, everything was affected by the space program. And I think this pandemic is going to turn out to be the same thing. I think we're going to learn scientifically about many, many aspects of our life and the bigger picture of our life, our worldly life, our inner life. We're going to learn many, many things. So with that being said, the learning of many, many things, yes, I think science is going to help us immensely. I think that we will learn a great deal about the intangibles that are going on in science about love and life, believe it or not. The love and life that lives within each and every one of us. How that will pan out, I do not know. I'm not a scientist. I read science. I'm interested in it. But to be honest with you, we're a ways away from opening up our minds to such a degree that we can recognize the bigger picture. Now, I'm going to say this because this is really the crux of your beautiful email. What you're really asking is there going to be a cure for all of this, and will it be through science? And I am going to tell you, I don't know. I really don't know. No one knows. But I certainly think this. The important aspect of science is not in conflict with, let's say, the teachings of the Buddha or Jesus or any of Lao Tzu. There is the intangible, how you live from within yourself. This is something that most people simply don't comprehend, don't understand. How do you live within yourself? How do you live in the way, the truth, and the light of you? Or do you? Most people don't. They don't live in the way, the truth, and the light. So they are susceptible to their biology, and they make their biology the perpetrator of their happiness or their unhappiness. Now, let me tell you a little something here that might help. If you can understand, you are a guest in this house called your biology. If you can understand that your biology, the skin, the flesh, the blood, the bones, the organs, are not you. They're rented space. If you can go into third person enough to see that they are rented space and that they do not determine who and what you are, only the movement of your heart, your authentic heart, not your human heart, your authentic heart can bring you the way, the truth, the light, and even new information, the science of your life. This is a very difficult thing for human beings to wrap their heads around, and most people just can't do it. Most people won't do it. So they find it very, very difficult to understand what is really going on in their life because they think in terms of biology instead of understanding that biology is susceptible to the state of your inner being. And had you not set up the state of your inner being, have you not understood the nature of your mind and how to take care of it and how to deny the possibility of living genetically, if you keep talking to your thinking, talking to your mind, talking to it like it's a person, you're going to find that you're not taking care of your mind. And you're going to be susceptible to whatever kind of craziness it wants to load into your genetic appetite. So it is best to understand the mind, how it works, how yours works, what the state of your unconscious mind is, and then learn to gravitate towards a more meditative approach, a more mindful approach. There you could change your health even. So there is all things that are spiritual are possible, and they do coincide with the biology because we're finding out that as a person lives in their body, so are they. It isn't that their body lives them. They live in their body. That's the gestalt you've got to understand. If you can do that, Anne, a lot of change will ensue. And there'll be a lot of, what do I want to say, joy in everything you do. In everything you do. Just something for you to think about. Anne, thank you for your question. I hope that served you well. And please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Marianne. Again, I don't know where she lives. How can the human overcome itself? I mean, how can it heal itself when it caused this whole pandemic in the first place? Marianne. Well, Marianne, we don't know if the human body created this pandemic. I mean, we don't know. We know very little has been given, I think, to the American public about it and what they do know, only for the sake, from what I've read, of drug companies trying to make the kill on the vaccine and make the money. It's all about the money with everybody. It's all about the money. So we have to go a little deeper than your question. You must understand, the human body is doing what it's doing. It is, in general, a virus itself. It creates illness. It creates misunderstanding. It sends mixed messages to people who aren't very clear about who and what they are and what they're doing with their life. There's all sorts of craziness going on with the human body and how it's interpreted. So if you want to interpret the human body and understand it from the premise of its fear and its anger and all of the things that it goes through in the course of your and my lifetime, and think of it as the source that the body, you know, is causing all this, you have to understand that is not necessarily true. Don't know what's necessarily true on all of this. I can tell you, since you asked me, I feel that we set everything up. We have a fate and a destiny that we set up long before we enter into the human body. And because we set it up in that way, in that manner, we come into a certain kind of body that is predestined for certain kinds of things. And as long as I live in those certain kinds of things, like bias, fear, anger, hatred, as long as those are the predecessors of my life and the genetics that rule my living, I'm going to absolutely miss everything that is deeply important to my existence here on Earth. And I have to ask myself if I want to do that. Do I want to live in the manner of my body, or do I want to live in the manner of my spirit, my heart, eventually my soul? So here's where the human body becomes very distracting and difficult. The human body has many desires, and we call these desires our heart, our heart's desire. As long as I live my life in accordance with what I think of as my heart's desire, I'm going to find great difficulty in everything that I do, in everything I do. The heart, believe it or not, the human heart is one of our biggest enemies. It promotes fear, it promotes anger, it promotes desire, ambition, pride, vanity. I could go on and on and on. And because everybody trusts it, because it's the first impulse that comes out of our DNA, it is the first impulse to stay alive. It is an impulse, to say the least. We believe in it. And if it affects our body and gives us a feeling of fear or a feeling of comfort or a feeling of what we call love, then we go along with it. And of course, that's where we fail. We really hurt ourselves. There's a lot of bias in the human heart. To me, the human heart is romancing and the romance of human bias that turns to preferences, that turns into lifestyle. And I'm keeping it really simple here in hopes that I'm able to reach you on all of this. Just the desire, the bias to think there is a God, you know, and what this God is all about, who you think this God is, and why you need a God and all of that. This is all about human bias. And it's been around for thousands of years. So instead of coming to know what people would call the state of God, they just make up God. And they make up his rules and what they think he is. Gender-wise, he's a male, of course. And that he makes up all of the components of this physical earth, none of which is true, none of which has anything to do with the reality of life. It just is what the human heart likes to invent. And we invent this for the sake of just inventing it over and over and over again. Other people like the story, then they think that is the story, and that a person who comes up with the grandest story about God or whatever the heart is talking about, love, that would be another one, romance, all of that, that must be right. There are a lot of great storytellers in this world, my dear friends. Great storytellers. And if you are susceptible to the human heart and emotionality, you're going to buy into all of this and think nothing of it and just say, oh, that's a great story, or that sounds logical or reasonable to me. And that will be the end of your life. I mean, literally the end eventually, because that human heart's going to lead you into one situation after another. Take a look at this little fact of life, just for the fun of it. When you consider all of the difficulties you've ever had in your life, all the heartaches, all the problems, did they not all start with the hope of the human heart? If you really can look into that without denial, without bias, without the idea of, oh my God, I can't think that, you know, my human heart would do all that. If you can really look at it, you will see that all of our problems in this world are based in the human heart. The human heart that wants power, prestige, adoration, wants to be famous, wants to be infamous, wants anything. You'll see, Marianne, that's really what it's all about. I share that with you with great respect. Not many can see this. Not many can understand it. Not many are willing to understand it. Please forgive me. Namaste. That was a big chunk. That'll bring in some hate mail, I guarantee it. Last question is from Carrie. The human is falling apart. Will something new arise if it does? And will it be better than where we are now? Carrie. Oh, Carrie, I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could tell you I knew. But I'm not a soothsayer, so I really don't know. I can tell you if you look at it, you can figure it out for yourself. Look at history. Look at human history. Take a look at human history. What do you see? Has anything worked out as you put it? We went from one war to another war to another war. We're always in war. We always have problems in this world with people. We can't even get along with each other. We can't get along with ourselves. So there's all sorts of issues and problems that are going on within our lifetime. And we have to ask ourselves, is this the way it works? Is this the way it ends? Is this what it's really all about? No, if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for something good to come out of all of this that we're involved in right now, I don't know. You have to wait and see. What you and I need to do is become, as Gandhi said, the answer that we want to see in this world. In other words, I'm not going to be looking out at humanity wondering if it's ever going to get its act together. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to get my act together. I am going to care for myself, care for others, love one another, take very good care, mindful care of my life. I'm not going to squander this existence in fear and in the allegations of fear. I am going to let love live me, not me want love. Let love, authentic love, live me. Now, if you do any and all of that, Carrie, then something unique will happen to us. I don't know what that is going to be right now. It's not clear. But I do feel that we're in a great mystery right now. And we're at a turning point in humanity, a big turning point. And if we make the turn, if we really make the turn and learn to love one another, to accept one another, then something of the other shore of love can reach us. But on a global sense, Carrie, that's not going to happen ever. We've had great teachers, great mystics, avatars come into this world. Buddha, Jesus, Lao Tzu. We've had even more. And it didn't change the world. It just kept getting worse and worse. Prejudice, fear, anger, jealousy, pride, human hatred, all attributed to the human heart. People who were in power, who knew in their desires that what they were doing was the right thing. All of this just kept going and going. So now we're on an individual basis. We need to do those things that make love possible in our life. Every day, Carrie, find a way to awaken. Meditate, be mindful, live in kindness. Forgiveness is essential. And the first one to forgive is yourself. And then you move down the line to everyone you've invoked any kind of pain and suffering with. If you do any and all of those things and even more, you're living a more conscious life, and you will find that your living will take off by itself. There will be a chance for real change in you. I hope that helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, that's our week. Quite a week, I would say, of questions. And if you have any comments, whatever, you know, you can always email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.